Case number 12,520, Dewey Beer Company seeks variances from the side yard setback requirements for a proposed structure. Sections 115-82, 115-183 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southeast side of Iron Throne Drive off of Harbison Road, Route 5, approximately 0.20 miles north of Lewis Georgetown Highway, Route 9. The 91 address is 21241 Iron Throne Drive, Milton. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 21. The applicant's requesting a 10-foot variance from the 20-foot side yard setback requirement for mechanical equipment serving a microbrewery. We have 0 letters of support, 2 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return.
Is the applicant here?
Yes, sir.
You would please come forward.
Those letters of opposition been shared with the board? I know there was one that came in, I think, over the weekend.
Over the weekend? I think we put them in their packet.
There's one that I believe came in on Sunday. I just want to make sure the board had a copy.
Yeah, did she put you have your copy, right?
Yeah. You had that? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Williamson. Members, staff, and council. My name is Fred Townsend. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Hudson Jones, Jaywork, and Fisher, and I'm located, or my office is located in Lewis. Thanks for the opportunity to be heard tonight in this important matter. The principals of the applicant, Dewey Beer Company, are with me as well. They are to the left, if you'd raise your hand. We've got Mr. Kaufman, Scott Kaufman, Mike Riley, and Brandon Smith. Mike Riley is going to join me shortly at the stand and be sworn. Additionally, we have a representative of the entity that owns the business park in question, and that is Mike Makowski, who along with Leanne Wilkinson are at least two of the owners of that entity. I'm going to attempt to be brief. I know there's some weather considerations, and this is a you've got an agenda before you tonight, so I appreciate your attention, and I'll move as quickly as I can. This is a matter of great importance to Dewey Beer Company, however. So the building in question, there are 7 buildings in this business park. The building in question runs along the southernmost side of the boundary, and behind it, 11 feet behind it, is a additional building. And that is significant in that that side yard setback there to the bottom of the screen, I believe. Is that correct? Is it the bottom of the screen? Yeah. So the, I guess it's, yes, to the bottom area of the screen is the location of the building, and the location of the neighbor's property is just to the south of that. Dewey Beer Company owns a brew pub in Dewey Beach where they act as a restaurant and produce beer there on site. They have a long history of being considerate to their neighbors and avoiding complaints. A microbrewery, if I could give you a little bit of background, is a state licensed facility which differs from a brew pub in that there is no permitted on-site food production, does not act as a restaurant, and is limited in the amount of beer it can produce on site. Mr. Riley can speak to that and speak to the nature of brewing beer if you have any questions about that. Now, a brew pub, a microbrewery does offer a tasting room. It's a very small percentage of the total facility. People can visit, sample beers, but again, there's no food preparation on site. It doesn't attract the same number or the same types of patrons that you might have if you had a big restaurant. It's also very limited in their hours of operation, much shorter hours of operation than you would have for a restaurant. The operation itself, the Dewey Beer Company operation, has been fully approved as a use by county council. There have been 2 public hearings, and That approval was granted this fall. They happen to have been the, on the agenda for the Planning Commission that was first suspended by the COVID concern. So their use and the fit-out of this building has been delayed by more than 6 months as a result of COVID. The building itself, though, was permitted to be constructed by the developer who owns it, and then that's because it was entirely lawful for a pole building to be located there, so the project went forward without the fit-out. So the variance sought is to reduce the side yard setbacks to 10 feet, and that is necessary to allow for the location of mechanicals and for other facilities that relate to the beer production function that's going on there, or will go on there, hopefully. The neighbor to the south has evidenced some concerns. I can tell you that once the need for a variance was first identified, we brought that to the attention of the planning office and simultaneously drafted and sent a letter to the neighbor inviting a conversation. And it seems that our letter and her letter of objection crossed in the mail. Her letter of objection was received here prior to receiving a letter from us, and I'll speak to the accommodation that Dewey Beer Company will happily make to protect the interests of that neighbor. Why did the problem arise? I think it's most likely a function of there being two different sets of engineers who were not fully responsible for the project. We've got an owner of a pole building who has engineering support for the location and construction of that pole building, and then we've got fit-out engineers who are employed by Dewey Beer Company, and they're not one and the same, and it appears that the interests of the related to the fit-out were not taken into consideration when the building itself was located. The building is just 6 inches, or 0.6 feet, rather, located within the side yard setback from a residential property, which is 20 feet. So they're 20.6 feet from the boundary line, which does not allow for sufficient area for the location of these mechanicals. I will have Mr. Riley go through the exhibit showing what the pads are for the mechanicals and why they're necessary. I'll first speak to the uniqueness of the property test and the remaining considerations that this board has in evaluating an application like this. This property is unique in that the development of it has already begun. The location of the structure is as the applicant has found it, and it is in the location, and it's, you know, quite a large structure. It's in the location that it was when it was installed, and there is just insufficient space to locate any HVAC to serve a building of that size. Now that the building is located in its current location, where it's absolutely necessary to locate HVAC and other mechanicals to serve the building, but there is no other place to locate them. They cannot be located behind this building where there's an 11-foot gap between it and the next one to the east. And it can't be located in front of the building. The mechanicals can't be located in the parking area, which is on the opposite side. If there was an option here, I assure you that the property owners would not be here appealing for this variance. There is simply no other option. I spoke to the what created the difficulty. Again, I'd like to stress that you know, this is not these applicants are not to be confused with, say, a Royal Farms or another big developer. This is their first effort at expansion. There are three young gentlemen here, and they were not in a position to identify this as a problem when the building was constructed. Other than indicating what size of building they would need, they did not have engineers on hand who were directing the location of the building. The character of the neighborhood is an important consideration for you as well, and as you can see, there's a residence located to the south, there are residences behind and across the street. However, this building is also located within a C1 district in a business park. So the business park has been something of a controversy for some of the neighbors, particularly in the rear, but it is fully approved, and that controversy, to the extent there was one, occurred long before Dewey Beer Company had ever identified it as a potential location for its microbrewery. But in an effort to deal with concerns raised by the neighbor, the developers have committed, and I believe your record will include a contract to erect a privacy fence at significant expense, but without any hesitation, to create a sound and visual barrier between the residents to the south and this property. And it'll fully enclose the front of the area as well, and it'll be a 6-foot fence. And as I said, it'll be a solid privacy fence designed to make it difficult for the neighbor to sight that as well. And I also need to point out that there's a picture or two that were submitted by the neighbor, and a picture that or two that we submitted as well that show the presence of a shed. That shed is about 10 feet tall, 20 feet deep, and 60 feet long. So it runs right along that boundary. It's right up against the boundary. And that itself creates a pretty significant buffer, a site buffer, between the residence and the building that's being erected. So between that and the fence, and I believe what my client would certainly consider planting as opposed to the fence, but the view is that a privacy fence such as what we are proposing is actually a better buffer both against sound and sight. So that's why that option is being proposed. Why 10 feet? Is that the minimal that you need? Well, Mr. Riley will speak to that, but the pads that are located against the building and the ductwork and the size of the equipment necessary to operate this facility take us to that limit. We couldn't survive with 7.5 feet, for instance. We need 10 feet of relief, which we're not happy to be here asking for that kind of relief, but that's where we find ourselves. So if there are no questions of me at this time, I would like to ask Mr. Riley to join me, if that's okay with your rules, or can we separate?
Sure.
Yeah, you're
I can stay here.
Yep.
Mr. Riley, you're going to be sworn.
Please be sworn in.
Can you state your name? Sure. You stand up by the mic.
Michael Riley.
And what's your address?
12 Corafin Lane, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And can you just spell your last name for the record?
Correct. Riley, R-E-I-L-L-Y.
Thank you.
Mr. Riley, I'm going to ask you to tell the board a little bit about your operations and about yourself, and then we'll take a look at some of the exhibits, and you can point out why those pads and the devices that go on them are necessary to your operation.
All right. My name is Mike Riley. I'm currently a former educator in the great state of Delaware. I taught physics for 6 years. And this opportunity 6 years ago presented itself, actually 8 years ago. And I jumped on it, and I've been at it ever since. I'm pretty much the head of operations. Anything wet, I make it. Anything dirty, I clean it, so that's where we're at. I've been sort of tasked with setting up the brewery, including the mechanicals that we're discussing today. So when we first started the project, I was completely unaware that you were not allowed to put mechanicals in this space. That is on us, I guess. But what we have is basically four units of HVAC that are designed for either the building or the production of beer.
Can we see a sketch at this point that shows the pads? I believe we submitted one.
It's in the supplemental packet. It's in the PDF of the on the website.
So that was one. Do you want to do this sketch? So that right there is our layout. There you go. So that's the site plan there. Okay, so what you see on the right side there is the mechanicals that we're discussing right now, and I can kind of just try to do my best to point out and explain. If you're looking at the drawing and the rectangle on the right, at the bottom right is the first HVAC unit that services the tasting room. And when we first set out, our HVAC people, who is all temp down on 24, they put the package together for us, and we went through a different couple bids, and then that's who we ended up going with, and they've installed it already. That services the 1,800 square foot tasting room space. It's sized accordingly. It doesn't quite stick out 10 feet. I actually don't know off the top of my head how far it does stick out. If you make your way up the building, you have the next HVAC unit, which services the entire brewery, which in brewing sense is extremely hot and humid, and HVAC is extremely important in our case, so it's slightly oversized for the space that we have. And that was based on their calculations and based on the heat that we produce as a brewing company. And then going up is the big piece that really raises eyebrows. It's the glycol chiller. And what that is an HVAC unit that's designed to cool liquid and then pump it through a header and into the tanks that then cool the beer and keep our beer cool and under control, essentially. It's an extremely important piece of equipment. It's probably the most important piece of equipment you have in beer because you can't really control what you're doing without it. The bulk of the size, if you're looking at it, as intimidating as it can be, is actually a 300-gallon tank of liquid that then is pumped up and into the system. So half the system, when you're looking at it, is really just a holding tank for liquid called glycol. Working your way down, you have the next pad, which is actually the two units that control our 1,800-square-foot walk-in cooler. So once beer is produced, then we then put it into a package, either a keg or a can in our case, and then it's held in there for inventory and then till distribution. Again, an extremely important process in beer. You're supposed to hold about 2 weeks of inventory. In our case, our whole goal is to expand what we're doing in Dewey currently. And so we built the cooler according to what we expect to produce in this spot alone. So those are the four major mechanicals that we're discussing.
Okay. So additionally, there's a reference to a proposed tank. That tank, I believe the preference is not to locate it there, but to locate it in that gap. Yes, in that gap right there where the cursor is showing. And can you describe quickly what the need for that?
So that tank was put on to us by our wastewater people. They came to us well into our build saying that they need to do what's called side streaming, which is a collection vessel for farmers, essentially. So some of the things we, as a byproduct of some of our stuff, like for example, you cook grain and then we collect the grain and then farmers come and pick it up and they feed it to their animals. This product here is yeast and hop byproduct, which is a byproduct of the fermentation, which will then be captured, put into a vessel and collected by a farmer as well. We didn't have any other option, and that's actually how this variance thing came to be, is we needed to be able to make sure we could do it. And so it has to be pumped up and out and into that collection vessel and then waited to be captured and then therefore delivered to the farmer. So that's why it's going to go where it is, and then Clean Delaware will collect it, just as Dewey or Dogfish actually does as well, and then put onto fields as a spray.
So in terms of toxicity of what you're dealing with, you're producing beer, which is consumed by people.
Right.
You're not using harsh chemicals, is that right?
Not in that vessel, no. It's a fertilizer product, byproduct, which will then be captured and put into the fields. There's nothing toxic or chemical involved. It's really just greenery that gets used in beer. If you ever drink beer, the bitterness compound in beer that you drink is called hops, and then therefore we have to dispose of the byproduct of that, which is then put into that collection vessel.
So, Mr. Riley, you heard me make some representations of fact during my presentation, one of which was that you're more than happy to construct a fence. Are my representations correct?
Yeah, so if you're looking at the bottom of the building there, that's the roadside. We'll carry the fence straight across, which would then hide the view of all the mechanicals pretty much. And then if you look, the right side is actually about a foot higher. And then we decide we want to build a 6-foot fence, which would then be a 7-foot barrier protecting that side of the building, which would then hide 90% of what you're seeing. And we thought, and if we could, we can go higher if that was desired. We just thought putting a 6-foot vinyl fence, which would then capture the noise from the HVAC units themselves, and also just the unsightly nature of HVAC itself.
Thank you. So in terms of other factual representations I made, I don't need to be corrected with respect to any of those?
No, you just made that one a little vague reference, but the fence will go straight across, flush with our building, and then back. So it'll hide itself from the patio that we've been granted. Mm-hmm. So we don't want our patio people to go like that and see an HVAC unit. Mm-hmm. So, and then also to hide the noise or the unsightliness for the neighbors as well, because their house that is where closer to the residence that is in reference here.
So, Mr. Riley, if I could, would you characterize this as a variance you need for a convenience or a variance you need because it's an absolute necessity?
Very much an absolute necessity. On top of the fact that it's all built, there is absolutely no place to put this stuff. You can't put it indoors, unfortunately. It needs to breathe. Putting it in the 10-foot, the 11-foot expanse between the buildings, unfortunately, it wouldn't work as well. It's because you need to be 3 feet off the ground, off the building, in order for the air to circulate properly for these things to operate efficiently in the way they need to. So, and then to put them on the other side, we are in a business park with a shared parking lot, and to occupy parking spaces that are otherwise occupied by a gym and landscapers and pool companies to eat up valuable parking for them as well as our customers that will be coming to our spot to enjoy a few beers didn't make sense either. So, and then if you look on the very top, like behind us in that building, the retention pond is pretty much right up to that building, so there's nothing on the other side of the building to put anything and run long lines if we had to because of the retention pond that exists there. So there really is no other option for us.
Does that conclude?
Yes, sir.
Guest presentation?
Unless there are any questions.
We probably do have some questions. I have a couple. How tall is this going to be? Is this unit itself going to be?
Which one?
The one in the new, the 10 by 10 proposed pad.
So that tank is 10, will be 12 feet high.
And you can't, that can't be, these can't be individually enclosed, is what you're telling me, because the wind or because the air can't get to it and it can't circulate.
Are you talking about the tank or are you talking about the HVAC equipment, sir?
The tank itself.
So the tank is not up yet. That came out later because of our wastewater folk coming at us with a problem that was not foreseen in the initial application. And so my understanding was, working with a consultant that we have, that to put a tank out to collect this fertilizer and then to put it outside was our only option. And if you go to give you a scope, to give you an understanding of what we're dealing with, is Dogfish does something very similar on a much bigger scale, obviously. They collect 75,000 gallons of wastewater into a collecting holding tank and then they have a fleet of wastewater trucks that then pump it out onto fields all over the state of Delaware. We're doing something similar. It's capturing about 10% of our overall waste from our brewing, and then the rest will be going down to the wastewater facility.
If I could just amplify one point in response to your question, sir, the tank would be accessed by non-Dewey Beer Company personnel, so it would be in line, and the Clean Delaware folks that would come, and this represents less than or about 10% of what their wastewater is, are going to come in and get it at their leisure. So getting it from within the building presents a difficulty. The HVAC units, of course, for the reasons stated, and need to be outside.
The fence you have here in the picture, I don't know if this is the picture you submitted or she submitted, Ms. Gibbons, I believe.
Yes.
Is that the lady you're referencing?
It is.
Things got crossed in the mail?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Is that her fence or is that your fence?
That's her fence. That's her fence. So the fence that the applicants are committed to constructing has not yet begun. So it's going to be quite a bit taller and solid, of course.
Is that the tallest mechanical there would be 12 feet? What's there now?
Yeah. Yes.
So the fence that you're going to construct across the front, I guess it'll have a gate in it for the trucks to go further back?
So if you're looking again, if you're looking at where your pointer is right there, mm-hmm. that is our side of the building. That is the front down below, right? So that'll be a patio. And then right above where her pointer is there, to the right, go right there, will be a fence with a gate. The Clean Delaware folk will go actually in between the buildings with their hose to capture the then collected solids and waste there. So that has to be accessed, and that was when we talked with Clean Delaware, that was their best solution, and ours as well, because there really was no other place to put it. Again, we didn't want to put it in front of the building to take up any valuable parking, because it's not just our parking lot. If it was, we could live with that.
So there won't be a driveway between the mechanicals and the fence?
Right. There will be no driveway now.
Okay.
So she's fine with a gate there, with a fence?
I'm unaware of that.
You know where? So you're not going all the way down the building with a fence either?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah. Can I walk over there?
Yes.
I think there's a pointer thing you probably use on that thing, too, to make it a little easier. You know, where you're a former teacher.
I know.
No, I think there's on the pad there. There's a
up here?
Oh.
And I think there's
a... Oh, okay. All right, good.
So right here, this is... The patio will be right here.
Yeah, we're not seeing.
Hang on.
Yeah. So if you look at our building, the entrance to the building, or the parking is here. This is parking, this is parking, this is parking. This is our front. We have some garage doors that will open to the public, and you'll be able to get a beer and sit and look out. This will be a patio, and then here is where we're proposing the fence to start, and then carry all the way back to the back. So a 6-foot vinyl fence starting here, and then going all the way back to hide all the unsightly HVAC that's the concern.
So the fence is going all the way to nothing to the building then?
It'll be the length of the building.
Okay.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Workman, because then, I did not make that clear.
Yeah, and the next question is, which way is they going to get the fertilizer, to the front or to the back?
So again, if you're looking at the site, this is the parking lot.
Yep.
They can come in around and then park their truck here and get it from here.
Okay.
So it'll be in between this building. It won't be from the front.
Okay. Really, I mean, she's not going to really be that infected by that. Everything's really to the back of her. I mean, your pumps and your air conditioning units and everything else.
So her house is towards the front near the patio. It's actually adjacent to the patio.
Yeah.
And then everything, so the HVAC units are there, and then the tank we're talking about is actually about 100 feet back from there.
The one in the center with the big pipe going through, is that the cooler?
The water.
Chiller?
Yes.
That's a chiller.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And again, the magnitude of that, and I know it looks intimidating, it's really just an oversized HVAC, but it has a big 300-gallon tank of glycol chilling liquid.
Well, that's good. That's probably got a right good-sized motor pump in that, too.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's expensive to run, yes.
Yes.
Roughly, okay. How far down the property does that shed, a joint shed start.
So I can point to something pretty familiar. So the house that we're talking about is adjacent to our patio here.
Right.
And then the shed starts somewhere about here and goes back here.
Okay.
So it's actually kind of shielding the glycol, the two biggest units, which are the oversized.
The HVAC unit, that's for the big part of the brewery, and then the glycol chiller.
That shed is 60 feet, so because the house is at an angle, that 60 feet does a pretty nice job of blocking much more than even 60 feet of the back of that building. Nevertheless, a fence with your approval is going to be installed. I'll also point out that efforts to speak with her were complicated by the fact that she's the owner of the property, but the property's been vacant for quite a while. So we had to send her a letter. And that's why I think, well, I can't predict what might have happened otherwise, but communication with her since the application was noticed has not taken place. But we would like to have had a conversation with her prior to this.
Sir, she's the owner of what property? Her property, not the property where the brewery's at.
That's right. The residence, see, the residence to the south is obviously it's residentially zoned, and the buffer between residential and commercial is expanded from 5 to 20 feet.
Okay.
So that house, though, has been vacant for a very long period of time, that's why we couldn't go across the street or couldn't go up the street, knock on the door to speak with the owner.
So nobody's living there now?
No, sir.
Okay.
So that where you're pointing right now is the shed.
That's the shed.
If you were to put landscaping in, what have you considered?
I reached out to Executive Lawns for that question, considering I know nothing of landscaping, but I asked them what a normal greenery to reduce noise and to be attractive to the eye, and what they had was a quick response, of which I don't know what the type of tree was, but it was something like a spaced out 6 foot tall that would grow into something like 8 feet to 10 feet.
Was it an arborvitae?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Sorry, he didn't actually get back to me in time either.
Mr. Williamson's got us.
More than likely.
More than likely an arborvitae.
It was something common, is in my understanding. And he asked me if we wanted to plant them where then they could then grow, and I said yes, being the financially better option. But are we opposed to anything? No, not absolutely not. I mean, if that's what was requested, then we'd oblige.
Question regarding the proposed concrete pad. Just for my own clarification, we saw a diagram that said 10 by 10. We have a piece in our packet that says 9 by 9.
It's a little, when we were writing that, I guess, it was a little undersized, but it's just a hair under, it's about 9.4 feet wide.
So 10 by 10 we covered.
It was bought to be within our conversations of what we're fighting for here.
And the 10 by 10 proposed pad is going to sit, I'm assuming to scale, I'm looking here, but internal to the mechanical equipment that's been installed?
Correct. Okay. It'd be to be up from the refrigeration for our refrigerator and down from the glycol chiller. In between those two pieces.
The distance toward the side yard to the south, however, the 10 by 10 pad is going to run parallel a little bit less than the mechanical units that are out there currently.
It is not, I think this tank can be located, unlike the HVAC units, can be located more flush against the building. So, 10 by 10 should be sufficient, and it will not encroach any further than the pads that are currently located in the side yard setback.
This is a question for staff. Were the mechanical units required to be permitted?
It just goes with the full tenant fit-up permit that they would have gotten to
put the Dewey Beer in the building.
The location of them, as I understand it, would be part of the site plan process, which has come to a halt as a result of the discovery of this issue.
Thank you.
Do you have an approximation of how far that house is from those units at the closest point?
I believe I do. It might be on offer, but I've got an email.
So the distance between the corner of the house and the first of our HVAC units is 60 feet. And that's the one from the house up in the corner there to that first HVAC unit where you're pointing right now. It's 60 feet.
All right. Thank you.
For the tasting room.
And for the tasting room, right, correct. And then to the tank in the back would be 200 to the furthest, yeah.
Other questions? Mr. Shore?
Thank you.
You mentioned the stormwater pond. I was a little unclear. Where is that located?
Can I walk over there to see?
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're looking at this, this building is occupied, and then there's a little concrete here, and then the stormwater is right here. So all this stormwater that's collected here is funneled into that right there.
So that's behind building four. Okay. And how often do you anticipate that tank having to be emptied out?
Part of the solution to what we came up with when this all started was to not pay for Clean Delaware to come out on a weekly basis, but to collect a substantial amount, which would then lower our cost of having them. Actually, they have a service fee of just getting out there. So that would be drained probably. I'm not brewing yet, and some things can fluctuate, but I'm assuming once every 2 months.
Okay. So it's not something every day, not something every week?
No, the size that we spec'd it out to be was the idea that we could do it about once every 2 to possibly 3 months, but we'll know more as we get in.
How tall are the HVAC systems? I know you said the tank was, I think, 12 feet tall.
So the tank is the biggest unit, but the HVAC, the two are only up to here, so about 4 feet high. And then the glycol chiller is about 7 feet, I believe, right, roughly.
What about the noise from these units? Do you have any idea how loud they are or not?
To give you an idea, the best thing I could tell you is where we are in Dewey currently. We have two units in the back as well. They're not quite as big, but they are the same amount of decibels, more or less. It's basically a loud fan, and the one in Dewey backs up directly to a bedroom, and we've never had a complaint there. But it's like a normal HVAC system that you would see that's a blowing hot air out, you know, in normal summertime hours. It's going to be working with the compressor buzzing and then with the fans going. So I don't have a decibels, but I guess if you just walk by any big building and on a summer day and you hear the HVAC, we're very similar to that.
Now, I guess one of the things that I wanted to make sure we had clear, because as the board and staff, it's kind of what we try to do is to clearly identify all of the variances that are needed on a, you know, one unit, two unit, three unit. And from what I can tell, what you're looking for is a 10-foot side yard variance for four different HVAC systems and a 10-foot variance for the proposed tank.
Correct.
Is that right? So we're looking at five variances.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Sharp, if it suits everyone, I mean, if we get a favorable motion and it passes on that, using that wording, then what we'll be doing is citing in those individual features. It seems to me that, and you know, we're in no position to be unhappy with anything that we get. So, but it seems to me the simplest thing would be to reduce the side yard setback to 10 feet. And then limit it by saying that only these items, the HVAC and this tank, would be permitted there. Certainly there will be no patron use of that area.
Well, I think we've historically not done blanket variances. Mm-hmm. We tend to do them more for what the specific proposal was, with the idea that, you know, neighbors, that's kind of what's been presented to neighbors, and it avoids having some confusion down the road and in the record. Whereas we have something here that does show, you know, what is being proposed and where they're approximately being located. So I think we've typically done the, and certainly the board can take whatever approach it wishes on that, but I know that typically we try to cite the different structures that are being proposed.
Mr. Sharp, could I? What
sure.
You have is, I'm not sure if I could.
Oh, you okay? That's fine. This is referring to 9x9. It should be 10x10.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the, showing this item.
Yeah, that's
back.
So the board members, what Mr. Townsend has just showed me, there's the one that I know there's a couple different site plans, I think, in your packet. The one that has the 9x9 pad kind of in the middle is the one that we're looking at. And that's actually a 10x10 pad. But otherwise, that would be the one that we're looking at as far as what structures are important. So I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Is that 10x10 pad poured already?
No, sir.
What's the 1, 2, 3? The fourth pad down, you don't have anything on that one. In this picture, from the front to the back, there's like two units sitting there, or welding units or something, sitting there, look like. On this picture I got from you guys.
Oh, an actual picture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got, I count 1, 2, 3, 4 pads. And it's a, there's like nothing on it really, two units sitting on it.
Could you show us?
Yep.
I think we're trying to find that picture.
Is it in the first packet?
Yes, my packet. Keep on going. Okay.
Are you talking about the ones at the far end there?
On the far end, see it? Right
that,
there.
Yeah, those are the units for the refrigeration.
And they're permanently there?
Yeah.
So okay.
Those are for our cold box.
Okay. Gotcha. So you got, so it'd be another pad poured yet?
We're going to piggyback off one of the ones already poured and not have to pour a whole one.
Oh, okay.
We would just, that one's already have some leeway to give, and we don't have to pour like a 5x10.
So that's the one you're coming off of?
We'd like to, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No other questions?
Anyone else, any more questions? Sure.
Actually, I'm just thinking
one thing. I noticed in the conditional use approval, I didn't see anything in there about the fence. So what you've proposed, I just want to make sure we're clear, is that there'd be a fence along the southerly property line adjacent to the pads of a minimum of 6 feet tall with a privacy fence, a vinyl fence, I think.
Correct.
Is what was proposed.
Okay. Yeah. It's actually right where this fence is. We'll just keep going back.
Okay.
And across to the left.
Yes, and then to hide the front as well. So,
and I think it's safe to say we have the owner of the business park here, Mr. Mikowski, and obviously we would need his permission to do it, but we have it. So he's fully consenting to the erection of a fence along that boundary line.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here against this application? Operator?
If anyone on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial flash star. I have Ann LaFleur on the line. Please state your name and address, and your line is open.
Hi, this is Ann LaFleur. I'm an employee with Suffolk County, and I'm just calling in to test the line this evening.
Thank you, Ann.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else on the line?
If anyone else on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5. We have Ronald on the line. Please state your name and address. Your line is open.
Sure, thank you. My name is Ronald Tong. Last name is spelled T-O-N-T-E. I live at 3 Westview Drive, Flemington, New Jersey.
And Mr. Tong, this is James Sharp, the board's attorney. Before we have you testify, I just need you to swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
All right. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. First, thank you to the members of the board and staff for hearing my remarks tonight. I am the nephew of Mrs. Shirley Gibbons. She's the owner of the property described as District 35 and F30, Parcel 20, immediately adjacent to the side yard of Parcel 21. The current pandemic makes it impossible for her to be there with you tonight, and she's also not comfortable using the technology for calling in. So she has asked me for a statement of opposition to the request for variance and provide you with several points of fact in response to the criteria for a variance in the applicant's board's assessment application. That application was not available to her at the time she previously submitted her letter to the board, which is contained in tonight's packet. My statement will take about 5 minutes of your time, and with your permission, I will proceed.
Please proceed.
First, a quick piece of background about her property, which I think gets to some of the points that were discussed a little bit earlier. Mrs. Gibbons inherited this property from her brother, Elmer Wilson, after he passed away in October of 2019. During the past year, while she has had some things left to do, she has worked hard on the upkeep of the property while the estate was being settled. The estate was just settled in October of 2020. Mr. Wilson has lived there since 1967 when late wife Shelley passed away in September of 2015. That's a little bit of background about the property and why it has been vacant as was stipulated by the applicant. I want to begin by focusing on a statement made by the applicant with respect to question 4 of the criteria for a variance on the application, which addresses the impact and impairment that the variance of authorized would have on the character of the neighborhood or adjacent property. And part of our answer to question 4 of the applicant states, concerning the neighboring residential parcel, its elevation falls off steeply from front to back, says that the area adjacent to the proposed mechanical equipment is not suitable for residential use. That statement is simply not true, as evidenced by the picture of the house and Mrs. Gibbons provided to you in the packet. Second, I have been on that property. That land is flat, as most land is in Suffolk County, with the exception of a narrow wooded area along the Beaver Dam branch at the rear of the property. It is clear lawn, so it's maintained and cut with a riding mower. When it was in good health, it will end up a large garden on much of that 2.6-acre parcel. You have to stand in the middle of the creek about 500 feet from the front of the property to find any material drop-off at all. The applicant's answer to question 4 serves no that to inactively degrade that was given the property. Now, two brief relevant points of the applicant's parcel. When the preliminary site plan was provided for tax parcel 21 in April 2017, it was a big, quiet commercial warehouse and office park with minimal adverse impact on surrounding neighbors. That was the assurance at the time. The County Council approved the ordinance in August 2020 to grant conditional use for the microbrewery. It did so based upon numerous findings of fact that accompanied that ordinance, including paragraph D, subparagraph 4, which states in part, quote, the brewing operation might have an adverse effect on the neighboring property. The applicant has stated that there are not any sounds or smells that will come from the building during these operations, end quote. Unfortunately, those previous assurances and findings of fact from 2020 may no longer be true. We're here tonight for the variance being discussed about the HVAC and other equipment. In the required to be installed in the required setback side yard of parcel 21, which is adjacent to the given parcel. If you look at the other pictures that Mrs. Cook given provided in her letter, you'll see that the fence has already been installed 21, including several duct-sized HVAC chillers and large clusters of propane. I want to point out that it's been done since the first. And despite prior assurances that prior assertions that there would not be any sound coming from the brewery operations, it is apparent that multiple industrial sized HVAC and other equipment will introduce substantial noise to Mrs. Hewitt's property and that house. And from a safety perspective, she wonders, are large clusters of propane tanks safe next to a residential parcel, and how will those tanks be accessed to fill up? In another part of their answer to question four, the variance criteria, the applicant states, quote, the requested variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood as the commercial building already exists, end quote. Part of that is true, but the building obviously does exist. The building itself is not the issue. What did not exist until recently was the equipment that has turned quiet office and warehouse park into a noisy industrial area, has changed the essential character of the neighborhood and Mrs. Gibbons' property. The nuisance will be noisy and an eyesore. Finally, I don't know what the remedy is available to the board in such situations, but the remedy is not a further degradation and evaluation of Mrs. Gibbons' property, which so far has occurred with impunity. And the remedy should be the simple construction of a vinyl fence as the applicant suggested in its January 20th letter to Mrs. Gibbons and for what they provided information to the board tonight. The 6 to 8 foot fence will not have the equipment and ductwork that is now installed high on the side of a 20 foot tall building. And it certainly won't hide a 12 foot tall tank. And it probably won't adequately buffer the noise. I don't know if the state of Delaware or the county have building codes regarding maximum peak or intrusive noise levels, but would it be reasonable to suggest that an expert noise analysis be done at applicant expense of the expected decibel levels that will be emitted by the proposed equipment operating simultaneously and its impact on the adjacent residential parcel? With such analysis and any recommendations for a best practical noise control measure being provided to the board before any further consideration is given to this variance request. I'll conclude by saying this. And parcel 21 remained as a quiet office and warehouse park, or even in the year to approve public 2020 by council. That side yard could have been landscaped, softened the visual impact of a large warehouse wall. Now with this variance request, the actions already taken by the applicant, it is making Mrs. Gibbons' property a de facto part of the industrial zone, with resulting negative impact. By proceeding with equipment in prior to this meeting, the applicant seems to have created an unfortunate hardship for themselves of their own making. Resolving the hardship of the assets of making should not come at the expense of further damage to the value of Mrs. Gibbons' property. Mrs. Gibbons has no problem at all with people running a business and making money, but with each request since 2017, we've been on a slippery slope to further degrade in the value of her property, all to the benefit of parcel 21. For all the reasons outlined in this statement and in her submitted letter, she requests to reject this application for variance. On behalf of Mrs. Gibbons, I thank you for your time and consideration. I'll take any questions.
Any questions, folks? Gentlemen? Mr. Sharp?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We respond. I want to see if anybody else is on the line. Is there anyone else on the line?
If anyone else on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Thank you. I'll allow you a little time to respond to that.
Just a quick thing. Thank you. I mean, there's a lot there, and I'm not going to respond to all of it. But with respect to those propane tanks, those are not permanent fixtures, and they're not proposed to be permanent fixtures. They happen to be there that day. They don't have to stay in that location. They can be moved. And the gentleman's remarks were absolutely spot on. That is, there's no elevation change from front to back there. That was my mistake in a result of me transposing a memory I have from the other side of the property to this one. So the gentleman is right, and my efforts to communicate that to my client was a miscommunication. So what I would say, though, it is a large parcel with a house up front. So there won't be any, at least not in the near term, any development residentially of the area behind that house, because it's one house on a large lot. So there's quite a bit of distance between these features and the home, and that home is not going to be located any closer to the features that are necessary for this operation. Thank you.
I do have one other question on the fence. Don't you think it might be better to be a solid fence instead of a vinyl fence? Because that's going to stop the noise more, a solid fence going down. And at least, how high do you want your fence? 6 or 8?
We'll do whatever you need.
I think it need to be higher to cover the chiller and all that, and be a solid fence going down.
Mr. Workman, it will be a solid fence. What you see there of a vinyl fence is the neighbor's vinyl fence.
Yes.
And that is a short, maybe a 4-foot picket style fence. This will be a 6-foot fence.
You won't be able to see through it. We were talking like a solid fence. It's a privacy 6-foot. Vinyl was our first thoughts. Well, you know, whatever is necessary to shield. What you see right there would not be visible by anybody on the side.
Yeah, I mean, but I think a solid fence would be better if it's butt right together. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be a little bit taller.
Yeah, sure.
Than what 6, I think, yeah, at least as high as that chiller. I mean, so nobody, you won't have no complaints anywhere.
So yeah. The maximum height permitted by the county will be, could be made a condition of your approval.
That could be a condition. Any other questions? No further questions. I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Thank you, sir.
That chiller was going to be 12 feet tall, or that was the tank?
Sorry.
That chiller is 12 feet. Need a little bit more time to think about it.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion to table case 12520. I'd like to see some more information about what the owner of the property would be proposing regarding a fence and a landscaping plan in order to help us in the deliberation of this question.
Dr. Carson, and I don't know that a table would be appropriate. I think it'd be just leaving the record open for the limited purpose of allowing the applicant to submit a proposal for landscaping and fencing along the southerly property line.
And that would be my motion.
Second.
Motion and second.
Before Do we have a timeframe by which the applicant would have to submit that? We have a meeting on the 1st of March. I don't know if a month's enough time.
I want to give them adequate time to
sure.
do what they need by the first meeting of March of the board.
Okay, so perhaps if they were to have that by the Thursday prior to that meeting, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but the Thursday before the March 1st meeting. So that'd be February the 25th. So, okay. And you second that, Mr. Corman?
I do.
Thank you.
Motion in a second. Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Corman? And I too. So with a vote of 5-0, case number 12520 will be left open for the limited purpose of a landscape plan.
And
should be, it's going to be the first meeting of March.
March 1st. They will need to have the fence and landscape plan submitted to the office by close of business on the 25th of February, and then it will be on the board's agenda for the meeting on March the 1st.
Correct. So with a vote of 5-0, that has been tabled.